1 Peter chapter 5. We'll just read verse 2 to get started. It says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, that all things, anything we need is in this Bible. And as we look at church leadership today, Lord, I thank you that you have scripture to guide us with this, to direct us with this. And so, Lord, we want to open our hearts to this. And even if some of the application to these scriptures is for leaders, Lord, I believe there is application in all of our hearts of maybe how we should act, how we should be. And so, Father, we want to be eager to serve, as we just read, and we want to be eager to hear from you today. So guide us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we all have different backgrounds. And again, we're gonna hit two different portions here of Scripture. We all have different backgrounds in coming to church, a church. You know, we've all probably been a part of many churches in our lives. And every church is run a little bit different. The governance, really, is what I'm speaking about. The government, how they make decisions. And some of you have come from denominational churches. I mean, the governments, it starts at the top with, like, the Pope, and it works its way down. There are bishops in some regions and such. Denominational governance is the denomination can make a lot of the decisions. There are some churches, I've been a part of one, that's congregational rule. That's where everyone has a voice and a say. There are some that are led by councils. There are some that are pastor-run, where the pastor makes all the decisions. And then there are churches like us, which are elder-run. There is a board of elders, and many times a board of deacons, and they make the decisions of the church. And that's what Peter is bringing about. He's going to start talking to the elders and lay out some things for them to do, which we want to dive into, and I want to be able to explain to you kind of how things are. And as I said, there's another half of what we do in making decisions here at Grace, and that's a deacon board. There's some necessity in bringing that up here today. And so we're going to talk about elders and deacons. So this is teaching. You're not going to get some awesome little goofy stories and 3 points and this and the other thing, but it's to teach us an understanding of how I believe the Word created or instructed us to govern the church, but as well as give you some information of how we do things, as well as I'm going to need your participation. Many of you are going to have some homework here this week. So let's just start with elders and see what Peter has to say. So 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1. It says, and now a word to you who are elders of the churches. Now, many here, you are not elders, but I think there's still stuff that can apply here. Elders, depending upon your version of the Bible, it'll say elders. It could say overseers, or it could say bishops. He's still here. I'm going to joke with him again. One of our elders is Jamie, and I dare somebody afterwards to say, you know, hello, Bishop Jamie, and see how he responds. Did anybody ask you the last service? Just one. Okay, I bet I know who that might be. So there's these different terms, and it's really the leadership of, the overseeing of the church. Those are what elders are. And typically elders are elders, or older, so to speak. But here at Grace, we have 4 elders. Pastor Arvid Moyne, who spends a bit of the winter in Colorado. Jamie Torgerson, who's here with us, and then Steve Orff, who was in the first service, and myself. I'm an elder. And so we're the overseers, we're the bishops, we're the shepherds, of things. And so that's who Peter is talking to, and you guys get to all listen in on what God is expecting or, asking of the elders. So a word to you elders of the churches, I too am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And if you've been going through this series every week, it seems like Peter is talking about the sufferings because we all need to see that we all go through sufferings. Whether we're part of the congregation or we're in leadership, we all go through different sufferings just as Christ does. And Peter is a witness to that. And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the world. And then he says, as a fellow elder I appeal to you. And I find this kind of fascinating because Peter is like the head of the church. He's practically a pope in the early Christian church. He's the man. There's the 12 apostles, and yet many people go to him as the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He's the top guy, and yet he's saying, I'm one of you. I'm an elder, just like the elders I'm talking to. And you need to remember that Peter wrote this letter, and it's a circular letter. He wrote it to the churches, and one church would read it. When they were done, they'd pass it to another church, and it would keep going from church to church. And so in this letter, he wants to talk to the congregation, but he also wants to talk to leadership. And he says to leadership, I'm just like you. I go through the same things you go through as elders, as shepherds of the church. And he creates this equality type thing, that we're all fellow servants with that. And I believe that is true even within our church. Again, we have four elders. And many of you, you might not have known that. You might not have known all of them. But you're typically aware of one of the shepherds. And that's me. Because I'm up here speaking. I'm up here guiding. I'm here throughout the week. But that makes me no greater than or less than the elders of this church. Because we all have an equal part, which is the care for the flock, which we're going to read here in a second. That's the purpose. So our elders, we are all equals. And to me, the younger of the elders, I so appreciate the wisdom that is there. And I don't act or speak like I have it all figured out. There's so many times I'm drawing on wisdom of the board because we are all in this together in our servicing. So he's saying, I'm one of you guys. I'm one of the fellow elders. Verse 2, as we read, care for the flock that God has entrusted you. That's the purpose of the elders. We are here to care for you. We want you to feel cared for. If there's an area of care that you're not feeling, let us know. We want to get to know with you. We want to pray with you as you're going through things. We want to be able to teach and train and all these different things. But the job of the elder is to care for the flock. We're all pastors. We're all shepherds. Watch over the flock willingly, not grudgingly. Why would he say that? Because there is a temptation. Parents, do you ever have a grudgingly, begrudged day with your kids? I shouldn't have had any kids. Ah, I tell you. You know, sometimes there's hard times, but if that is what's in your heart daily, you got a problem, something you need to work through. So certainly in leadership, there can be frustrations, but the reason why we do this, we should do it willingly. Like, yes, Lord, I want to help. I want to care for your flock. And I believe our board does that immensely well. I don't hear a grudgingly. You know, they are humbled to serve, but the desire to follow what God wants them to do. Not for what you'll get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. And there's that line. We are here to serve God. A quick little kind of reminder. In your bulletins on the inside cover, there is a mission statement of what our mission statement here at Grace Community Church is. And that's training to serve, serving to love, loving to live. It comes from John 10:10. Christ has come to give you life and life more abundantly. And that rang in my heart once as I read it. And I have this desire that everyone here lives the abundant life. Every day you wake up, go, I am so full of life, so full of God and His blessings. But sometimes we wake up that way, or wake up and we don't feel that way. We don't feel that abundance. So how do we get there? How do we get to abundant life? Well, I'm surrounded, I serve with a board of leaders that I believe are all living the abundant life. And so what do? Well, we want to train you. We want to teach you. We want to show you of what our life is. And we want to train you to do something. We want to train you to serve because we are eager to serve. We want to teach you how to serve other people. If it's greeting at the door, if it's playing on the worship team, if it's running the sound, if it's cleaning the church, if it's helping with a potluck. We want to train you, give you opportunities to serve. And as you serve, I believe you grow into loving people more. I shared this first service that my wife and I, actually neither of us, really had a whole lot of experience in children's ministry until we came here. And I've helped from time to time on ARC, and I've filled in for the small groups. And my first couple times, I'm like, I've never done this before. These are kids. What do I do? And I've found I love it. I love their energy. I love their thoughts. And that's why we do, and Genevieve's going to catch me on this, I don't have a coloring today because it's a slightly different message. But after service, the kids come up with their coloring. I'll still give you candy, though, because, you know, I love to do that. But I love interacting with the kids. I love it. I said, I'm willing to serve. Where do you need me? Well, I need you to serve with these kids. And I love it. And that's what we want. We want you to serve. And eventually you start loving people. Because you're like, there are people that have needs and I want to help. And then someday something clicks. That you begin to love people as God loves people. And that's a big step. And I believe when that occurs, now you're loving to live. You are living the abundant life. And so what do we do here? Well, we have a board that wants to disciple and train you to serve. And then from serving, we want you to love. And from loving, we want you to live the abundant life. And when you get there, help us train to serve, to love, to live. To serve, to train, to serve, to love, to live. And around it goes. And it starts with our elders. That's our desire, is to serve with joy because we are eager to serve God. Verse 3. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. I believe Peter was probably working up on this letter for some time. He saw some things. He's like, I need to write a letter. And he's probably taking some notes over a couple of weeks, you know, and like, we got to talk about this, got to talk about that. And then I believe one day he got up in the morning and he was going through his reels. He was going through his TikToks or his Facebook, whatever it is. And he saw a little video and he goes, ah, that's it. I got to talk about elders. I got to talk to elders about that. And I believe, you know, 2,000 years ago, this little video clip that I'm going to show, yes, I'm a little strange. I think you know that, but this is how I think. I'm going to give you an example of this scripture that I think Peter probably saw. Now, when you see the video, the sheep, the congregation, the people are on the left side. They're represented by the left side, okay? And then on the right side is church leadership. I think you'll have a decent understanding here. If it works, or technology. Okay. All right. Church on the left, leaders on the right. Oh, church is hungry. Nope. Oh. Leadership. And look how the frog just stares at the like, dude, I wanted. Okay, my turn. Oh. Oh. Really? That's great leadership right there. That's great caring for the flock. Let's give it another try. Got it. No. This is what I think Peter saw in the morning. He's like, church leaders, don't do that. We'll give him another chance. Yep. Nope. No. You care for people. Meet their needs. Maybe he'll get one more shot here. One more chance. One more hope. Here it goes. Up and yay. All right, you can turn it off. Rick in the first service said, we pay you? Yeah, that's all I do all week. Go through YouTube. Oh, Lord, inspire me in YouTube. No. Sometimes, and maybe you've experienced that, that's what leadership in a church acts like. It doesn't give you anything, or it dangles carrots or worms, and you never get it. And Peter is saying, leaders, don't do that. You don't lord over the people. You care for the people. That's vital. And it says, but lead them by their own good example. I don't know if you know Arvid and Jamie and Steve, but I challenge you to find men of greater character than these guys. They are a tremendous example. As I said, they're a little older than me. They're an example to me, and they should be an example to you in many areas. One is men of God. Prayer lives, servanthood, God has, they are seeking after God. Two, as husbands. And they meet many times with younger couples or couples that maybe are going through things because they are a great example. Just observe them because they are men of great character, of good example. They're dads, and they're tremendous dads. That was a great chance for some of the kids here to go, amen! Especially, there's a Torgerson in the back, but I guess that didn't happen. They are great dads, and a couple of them are great grandfathers. Not great grandfathers, great grandfathers. They are excellent examples, and they are there for you. As you go through things, yes, I'm available. I spend my time here. I'm always available. But I'm not your only source. You have other elders, other shepherds. And if you like them because maybe they're Packer fans and I'm not, you know, I get it. That's fine. Maybe, you know, if you want to talk about what do you do as a grandparent, maybe I'm not the greatest resource with that. That's why we have a board. That's why we have a number of elders. And they are excellent examples. They are worthy of praise and honor because of their excellent hearts, their desire to serve God. And I don't believe they lord that over you. Some of you might not even know, some of them are your leaders here at the church, but they are, and they are here to serve. Verse 4, and when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. It's kind of a bittersweet verse. Because Peter's saying, you might not get anything on this earth. You might not get honor. You might not get great praise or wealth or anything, but that's okay. Because there is a crown of glory for you in the life to come. And I believe that's true for everyone here. There are things we do things not for this earth, but we do it for the glory to come. We want to all hear, well done, good and faithful servants. So that's half of our leadership. We have an elder board, and I believe they fit this scripture well, that they follow this. This is our example in scripture. And I want you aware of that with the leadership within this church. But the other piece is we have a deacon board as well. And if you have the chance, you flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to go through that a little bit. So our elders, we typically say kind of care for the spiritual needs of the congregation. You know, so again, what's your relationship with God? Those sort of things. But we also come to church, and there's some practical things. We like to come in, and we like the lights to be on, and hopefully they've been paid for by the bills. We like the temperature. You know, it's so great that it's, you know, closer to 70 and not 20 degrees in here, right? So we want to make sure the heating bill is taken care of. You know, you go to the bathroom, it'd be great to have toilet paper. You know, there are some things that we need, physical needs, that are important to this body. And deacons do that. They take care of physical things as well as the finances, which is a key piece. The money doesn't channel all through me. No, we have a board of deacons that are smart with money. We have a treasurer that has equal say within, I don't sign all checks. There's another signer as well. You know, there are some practical things. So we have a deacon board. And there's another thing that we have with how we run. It's called Constitution and Bylaws. Anybody want a copy? You know, I'm probably the only one around here that likes to read this, and I actually read it pretty regularly. What it is this is how we run things here at Grace Community Church. It's kind of our ground rules, and I want to follow it as best I can. And it helps us in some of the processes we have, including the deacon board. The deacon board needs to be made up of a minimum of 3 deacons and a max of 7. And I think they pretty much always ran at 3. But what happens if you don't have one, if you're down to 2? Well, we need more deacons, which is the point of this message and meeting. Gary Alexander, who served as a deacon and a treasurer for about 8.5 years. He can serve up to 9 years. And he served very well. Great insight and wisdom to our congregation. But he had resigned his position, which leaves us down one deacon. So right now we only have two. We need to have three. There's other rules in here of how to operate when that happens, which we're doing. But it tells us when you need a new deacon, at the next or at a regular meeting, the pastor needs to preach about the qualifications of a deacon. And then the congregation, here's the process. If you are a member, you anonymously nominate another member for deaconship. And then I take those and I prayerfully consider those. And I bring one recommendation. And actually, in this case, we're thinking of probably having one or two names. I present it to the elders, and the elders ratify, the elders vote upon who the next deacon will be. And so that's kind of the homework in this meeting. Everyone gets to hear. We're getting biblical teaching. You're getting an understanding of how we run. But out of this, I'm going to read the biblical qualifications of a deacon. And if you are a member, pay close attention and start considering those people around you that might be worthy of a nomination so that we can kind of fill that role, so to speak. So let me give you the biblical qualifications of a deacon. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 8. This is just riveting stuff, is it not? Wow. Amen, Pastor. Wow. Okay, I'll stop. Verse 8, in the same way. So he's going to give qualifications of deacons, and he actually just got done talking about elders in Timothy here. If you need a little expanded teaching, read the rest of the beginning of 1 Timothy chapter 3. In the same way, deacons must be well-respected and have integrity. I think that's important for all followers of Christ. We should all be well-respected and people of integrity. But that's a qualification that's needed in our deacons. Currently, our deacon board is Dan Orff and Bill Efforts, who is also serving as a treasurer. Bill was off on the board for 9 years. He was off, and then he served again because we had need of. And so he's willing to serve, but he'd love for us to potentially replace his position as well. That's why I'm saying we need one or two deacons, because if we bring up two more, then Bill will probably find the proper time to step down from his position again. But Bill and Dan Orff are our deacons. They must not be heavy drinkers. My personal opinion is, don't drink. I don't see great value in alcohol and drinking. Do not be drunk with wine, the Bible tells us. And what I see in here is, you shouldn't be known by your drinking. I don't think any believer probably should not be known by drinking. Now, if you drink, Jesus drank. Yes, that's fine. But does it control you or do you control it? That's a big piece. But if you seek to be or should be in a position of leadership, you should not be known by your drinking habits. And then it says, or they should not be dishonest with money. And that's very, 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 very important, because a deacon is going to oversee the finances of the church. And they should have a good idea of how to handle finances. Verse 9, they must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. The mystery of the faith. God loves me so much he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins, that if I receive him in the name of Jesus, I will be saved. That's a crazy, awesome mystery. And a deacon should live by that. Faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And so that's a qualification. And they should be of clear conscience. This is probably someone that is not living in regret, not living in sin, not living in shame and guilt. Someone who has moved past that and matured in Christ and this mystery of the faith and is living an abundant life, so to speak. And so that's the clear conscience that they should have. Verse 10, before they are appointed as a deacon, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. And again, that's our process that we have here. I want you to examine your fellow members and present them, and I get to examine, and then the elders get to examine. We get this process through the scripture. We want to closely look at those that could be in that role of deacon. So you think that's the end of it, but there's more. Verse 11, in the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. So not only is a nominee being examined, but his wife should be examined as well. Oh, goody. And she should have qualities. She should have self-control. Or must be respected and must not slander others. Other versions say they do not gossip. They aren't busybodies. They aren't nosy. And when you are an elder or deacon, you are privileged to some information in the church. And I relay that to the elders and deacons. And I know many times they relay that to their wives because the two are one. And that's very important. And I'm good with that. But if either the deacon or his wife or the elder or his wife shares all information to anyone who wants to hear, that can be troubling. And so that's a quality that's needed. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. So there's some qualifications of the spouse, which I greatly appreciate. When Em and I were candidating, when I was candidating to come here, right here actually, they set up two tables. The elders and deacons were here. Pastor Ken stepped out, and they invited myself and Emily to come to sit at the table, and they grilled us with lots of questions. And I started keeping score, and it seemed like they were asking her a lot more questions than me. And I was grateful for that, because we're a package deal. You get us both, our strengths and our weaknesses. But our strengths and weaknesses are opposites many times, and we're a package. You get us both, and I believe that's true many times with elders and deacons. It's a package deal. Both characters, qualities are important. Verse 12: A deacon must be faithful to his wife, amen, and he must manage his children and household well. And so his kids have to be well managed. They have to. And I think I mentioned there's too many services. I think I mentioned when we came here and I knew we were being evaluated. We visited a couple times. I do know that people were watching my kids. Like, well, let's see what this potential pastor's kids are like. You know, because it gives you insight into a person's character. And there's an examination. And then it says, and household. You got to manage the household. In this setting, many times, people in this time, they had servants in the house. Or they were business owners. They had employees or servants. I don't have any servants, right? In my house, my kids might argue with that point. But it's a qualification, is that you manage the household well. So here are some qualifications. Now, if you read between the lines, you might be seeing some disqualifications, right? You might be going, okay, so a deacon must be a man. And he must be married. And he must be a parent. And if you're going to go down that line, then you got to go so far as, well, then he must also have servants in the house, or maybe a business owner. So in your mind, you're like, well, is that what it is? Maybe you see some disqualifications with some individuals. I am not articulating that, or I'm not arguing that. What I'm asking is for you to read the biblical definitions, and you in your heart say, Lord, who qualifies based upon this? And from there, you don't have to really worry about it, because then I take it and I pray about it, the names that you bring, and ultimately the elders decide. So are there some disqualifications? I don't know. The only disqualification I'm looking for is when God says, not this one, but this one. So who can it be? You might see qualifications, you might see disqualifications. Seek the Lord. Let him guide you. But there are some in-house rule disqualifications to deaconship. Again, according to our bylaws. So as an elder, elders cannot serve as deacons unless it's temporary, which is in the case we're right now. So if we need another vote in the deacon board and we only have two, an elder can step in. So Steve, myself, Arvid, Jamie, we are disqualified as deaconship. We can't be deacons. Our current deacons and Gary stepping down. So Gary, Dan, and Bill are people that you can't necessarily vote for because of they're serving or having had served. Then there's another unique one, is that if they're on staff here at the church, they can't be a deacon because they're supposed to manage the finances, and if they're getting paid, there can be a difficulty. Now, I am technically the president or the head of the deacon board, so I'm a deacon, but I'm a non-voting deacon, and I'm not going to bore you with all those details. So I'm in a unique position. I am paid by the church, but I don't have a vote when it comes to deaconship, so that's the unique qualification for me. And so anyone on staff can't be a deacon. So Trevor Westendorf, our worship leader, is on staff. Kira Hardina, who is our office administrator or office assistant, she's on staff. And then we pay a small portion to Emily, who is over children's, and John, who is over youth. And so they're technically on staff. And so those are four people that cannot be chosen. And also, it needs to be a member choosing a member. Some of you might go, I can't remember if I'm a member, and I don't know everybody who is members. Well, I'll help you out there. Out there, I've got a table which has the potluck on one side, and the other side, there's purple nomination slips and a purple piece of paper that has a list of all of our members of the church. I've bolded the names that cannot be chosen because of these disqualifications. And so you get to look at that list, and if the Lord is leading to someone, you know, write it down, and we take the process from there. This is, like I said, especially for our visitors, sorry, this was weird. You get to come in on business, but it's an important piece of our congregation, and it's important for you to know how we're run and how we do things and who's who, and it's important to see what the Bible says about it, which we are doing everything we can to abide by what the Scripture says. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed by the congregation and your service. I'm blessed by the elders and deacons. They've always done a phenomenal job, and you may not know it, but they're a blessing to you as they seek the Lord. And so we need your help in this. You know, we ask for your participation. If you're not a member of Grace Community Church, we have a process for that. Probably late April or early May, I'll probably have a Welcome to Grace class. It's where we give you a more expanded explanation of what we believe here at Grace Community Church, as well as you would have the opportunity to request to become a member, so then you can participate in things like this. Also, as you look at the list, if you have any questions of, aren't I a member, or why aren't I on the list, or someone you thought should be on the list, let me know. We have some things that explain that as well, and so... just ask me the questions. And because this is a strange type message, I'll open it up to anyone here. Any questions when it comes to deaconship or what I'm asking of you all here this morning? Anybody take notes? This is a weird message. It is a message, and it's important, but just something we need, kind of family business we kind of need to take care of. And again, we're blessed here at Grace because of you and those that serve and those that participate. So thank you for being an awesome body of Christ. Well, I'm going to just ask you to stand. I'm going to pray a prayer of conclusion and benediction and pray over you here this morning. Lord, again, I thank you for your word, Lord, that covers so many things, including this thing of business. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you guide and direct all of us in our different stages of this process, Lord, that you reveal to us who it is you've called to be in this position, or individuals you've called to be in this position. Guide us, Lord, with that. And Lord, I pray that you bless and continue to bless this body of believers, Grace Community Church. You've been so good to us, and we desire to be faithful servants, good stewards of everything you've blessed us with. We desire to be a light to this community. And Lord, for the congregation here standing, my brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray that you bless them. Lord, give them opportunities to reveal to this community, Lord, who Jesus Christ is. Give us opportunities to be a part of businesses and groups and organizations and committees, Lord, that we can let the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mystery, unravel into before people's eyes in this community. So, Father, I pray you bless us all as we go from here. Let us walk in your joy. Let us walk in your blessings. We pray this in Jesus' name.